Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking at Billy Bob's, a Paolo Di Canio, a West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast.
Podcast.
Season 7, Episode 7. So this is our 7-7. And we're here tonight to... We're about George again. He hasn't left us. He hasn't gone a sulk. He's not striking. He's ill, actually. Funny enough, he gets engaged last week. This week, he's ill. So we wish you well, George.
I don't think the two things are connected.
No, I don't think the two things are connected.
You've got the two bob bits.
All right, that's too much information. As you've already heard, back is the very famous Nigel Khan.
Thank you very much. Infamous.
You had a little on the Hammers Chat boat, you had a little fan club going there for one bit.
A couple of people said hello to me, that's all.
Yeah, and people said, and Gonzo from Hammers Chat went, I used to read your articles from OLAS on the toilet.
And then yeah. Wipe. Yeah, okay.
Easy.
Then you, yeah. That was what OLAS was good for, actually.
I'll tell Mr. Firmager that, shall I?
Yeah, you tell him what you want. He doesn't come anymore anyway. And John is back. Oh, sorry, Nigel, where are you?
I'm in my shed.
Excellent. John, welcome back, John. Where are you?
Thank you. I'm in my loft.
Yeah.
That don't quite work, does it, Nigel?
It doesn't.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll start looking on Facebook, though, see if I can find him.
And this week, I'm in my flat. Good. After the failure at with Wi-Fi and last week. In the girlfriend's dungeon, yeah.
Yeah,
we know. That didn't come out right, did it, either?
Yeah.
It was a basement, anyway. Anyway, it's not a sexual fetish podcast. It is football podcast. So let's talk about football. We had two games. The first one was in the, is it called the Carabao Cup? What is Carabao?
It's sort of Red Bullish type thing.
Is it Asian sort of Red Bull
Asian
kind of
energy thing? Drink, yeah.
Oh. Anyway, let's call it the Milk Cup or the League Cup. Old money for us. We won 3-0, John.
Hey.
Now, I know you didn't watch it, right? Because it was impossible to watch because there was no stream. But I'm sure you saw the highlights and I think you listened to the commentary. What did you think?
No, I didn't do either of them. So Nigel was there.
Nigel actually went, yeah. I was going to try and start with you and I thought you might give us a little bit. But all right.
Nah.
You must have seen the goals or something.
I've seen the goals, yeah. I have seen the goals, to be honest.
All right, well, let's go to Nigel, because Nigel could actually be bothered to go to the game. You probably paid a tenner for your seat, didn't you?
I paid a tenner for my seat, and I sat in a seat worth 15 quid, but don't tell the club.
No. Well, there was only, I think, 34,000 or 35,000 people tickets, and I think 20,000 of them were Newham residents that got in free, weren't they? Were there many Newham residents?
There was a few. I'm not sure 20,000, probably about 5 or 6.
Right. So, could you sit where you wanted?
I could sit where I want, yes. And I did sit where I want.
Where did you sit?
Well, I sat with my mates upstairs.
Oh, you still stayed upstairs?
Yeah, still stayed upstairs. They didn't want to move about. So there was about 10 of us with about 7 rows empty. Well, no, probably not. Probably 10 rows empty. So it was empty. Downstairs looked full, though, to be fair.
It did, didn't it?
So, you know, for the TV cameras, they were pushing, you know, probably push the people downstairs, make it look full. I was listening
to the radio at the bowling, and then watching Sky Sports for the goals.
At the bowling, that would have been a 25,000 crowd.
You're right. And when, I know, no, you're not right, actually, because I would say in an early round, I'm not sure we would get 25,000.
Maybe not 20 then.
I would say 15.
No, I think we had more than that.
Well, look, I, as a season ticket holder at the bowling ground, John, did we ever go to these kind of early League Cup games?
Well, sometimes we did, didn't we?
When? Come on. Did we ever? Not really.
Not a
round three against.
Yeah, not Bolton. A rule of thumb. No, we didn't. But
just go. We spent enough money on our season ticket. We're not spending more money going there.
Well, I was the mug that did go to them games, and depending on the level of opposition, you would get like round two, you'd get 15,000 to 18,000, and then as you progressed, you would have got 20,000 at the bowling. So 35,000, even if they give 5,000 away free. It's not bad going. I think they could give more away free, and I'd do it to the schools, and not just in Newham. Throw them out to Buck.
I don't think they can find enough people to give them away to.
Well, they would if they tried. Are you telling me that the schools in Tauramnes,
whole of Essex,
wouldn't take them?
Anyway, let's talk about the game, shall we? I'm just looking up 1968, Bolton Wanderers in the League Cup second round, 24,937.
Yeah, I didn't make
that
one.
Attendance.
When was that?
Did you?
1968. I don't even think I was an itch yet. I was born November 69, so I was an itch probably around February 69, wasn't I? It was a game where we did what we had to do, wasn't it? Well, I don't know what to say about it. I even missed a third goal because I was trying to cash out a bet. And when the third goal went in, I forgot to cash out my bet. And then Leeds scored, so I couldn't cash out my bet. And I had the right ump because I'd missed out on 60 quid. And then when I walked out, and about 20 minutes later, I found Burnley had got a last second equaliser. So I actually won my money, like 90 quid. But yeah, so the best goal, I was even trying to cash out my bet. It was that interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to quickly test you on your trivia. West Ham versus Bolton, 15th of March 2006. Yeah. 24,685 people there. FA Cup fifth round.
Yeah. Midweek game. Yeah.
Who was the referee?
We were there.
Who was the referee? Piss off. Didn't Kevin Davis score for Bolton?
He did. West Ham scored two goals. Who scored them?
Oh, fuck. Who got our goals? FA Cup.
Was it Sheringham?
Sheringham. Not Ashton, was it?
No.
I went to the 0-0 as well. We had 0-0 away.
Yeah, and we pulled them back, 2-1 didn't we?
At home.
It was bloody freezing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Zamora? Harewood?
No. Harewood got one.
Oh, right.
And you'll never guess.
Lucas Neal?
Who got the other one?
Rob Green?
It was an own goal, but by a player who played for West Ham.
Nolan.
No. Kevin Nolan.
Nolan.
Jussi Jaskalainen.
Oh.
Oh, right.
Own goal. It was 1-1 at extra time.
Yeah.
Shaka Hislopic in goal. Gabadon, Konchesky, Anton Ferdinand, Mullins, Ben Ayew, Everton, Rhea Coker.
Yeah, it was the year we got to the final.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember when we went. We went to that all of those that year. Anyway, it's not a nostalgic
good
podcast.
Year, wasn't it?
It was a good year. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Apart from the
fun. Let's go back to the game. Three, you say it wasn't very good. Bolton really didn't turn up, did they? They seemed a bit worried. Considering their league position, I'm not surprised. Three good goals, or two good goals at least.
Yes. The third goal was good. I'm trying to.
Well, the first goal. Did you not see the first?
Yeah, I see them all. I'm trying to remember.
Ogbonna coming from nowhere, headed bullet header right into the back of the net.
Yes, early doors after 4 minutes. Yes, good goal.
That was a great goal by Ogbonna, wasn't
it? Yes. What's its name? Arnautovic. Good delivery.
I thought Arnautovic had a really good game.
See, now
he
didn't.
Made everything. Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Yeah, he set up 2 goals, but I thought we're only playing Bolton. He got tackled a lot trying to beat players down the wing. He tried to take them on, and they kept nicking the ball off of him. And you think, well, when you're up against Premier League defenders, they're going to be a lot better than that. So I didn't think he had a bad game, but I didn't think it was quite as good as what everybody was making him out to be. If you get me drift.
I'm trying to remember. Was it Arnautovic himself who got the second goal?
I didn't know this was about Bolton. I thought we were talking about Tottenham.
Well, we are. We're talking about Bolton. You know who got the third goal?
Yeah, Musuaku.
Mr. AU.
Yeah. I can't remember who got the
second goal. Great goal.
It was in the first half.
Was it Ogbonna, AU and...
Was it AU? Yeah, it was AU, wasn't it? I know it was another ball in by Arnautovic, I think.
I love it. We're a West Ham podcast and no one can remember who scored a goal.
It's more embarrassing
than a week
for me because I was actually at the game.
Yeah. And while you're talking, I'm not going into Match Centre and just having a quick look.
Oh, right, yeah.
It was Diafra Sacco.
Of course it was.
And by the way, I can't believe it. The third goal was Masuaku, of course.
I always get AU and Sacco. And Sacarito, I think I called him in last Saturday, mixed up. So
Diafra Sacco with the second goal on 31 minutes. And of course,
did he celebrate much?
Masuaku at 93 minutes.
Yeah. Did Sacco celebrate?
I think he did,
Did he?
I don't think he got booed. To be fair, there was only 8 of us where we were, and we didn't boo him. So in the little section we had.
Was it worth your 10 quid?
Listen, mate, if West Ham was opening an envelope, I'd probably pay a tenner to watch it. So I'm the mug punter, aren't I? They put a game on, I turn up. So
yeah, for someone who said no to the London Stadium, you seem to spend a lot of your time there.
What am I supposed to do? Where else am I going to go?
I know, go to every away game instead as a protest.
Oh, yeah, that's family.
Old ground, Sean.
Are you going to bike from the Bolin? I had Veronica from one of the Newham councillors contact me. They've got Bike to the Bolin on Saturday for the Swansea game, where you can bike from the old Bolin ground from statue to the stadium on Saturday. Will you be joining in along the Greenway?
No.
Historic Greenway, as they call
it. It's not the historic Greenway. It's a sewer bank
that's what Veronica
for the locals that know it. And listen, mate, I've seen what my dog done along there, so... The last thing I want to do is ride a bike. No.
You can borrow a bike. They will lend you
one. That's good to know. But right now, the thing though, where do they leave the bikes?
Yeah, I wondered that. I don't know.
Where is the bike?
I've got a press.
Boris bikes, won't they? Will they just be the ones you park up and leave behind?
What we'll probably do, they'll probably walk around the streets of Plasto and Upton Park looking for people that have left their bikes lying around and quickly run off with them. I've got you one.
Believe it or not, I've embargoed press release for 2 p.m. on Saturday. And I did say to Veronica, well, why is it embargoed to 2 p.m? I said all the West Ham fans will be at the ground by then. But Stephen Timms is joining in.
Oh, well, so there you go.
Fine. You know Stephen Timms, do you?
I know who he is. Yeah, he's the MP for East Ham, not for West Ham.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And the people who save our statue, or whatever they're called, are taking part in it as well.
Why are they?
Yeah, because they still don't want that statue to move. They still want it as a reminder.
But that's right.
The glory.
That's where it should stay.
Yeah, you agree with that,
don't
you?
I do agree. I've always said that the statue... Well, actually, what I said was, if they take the statue, that they should have put the gates in like a triangle in its place, because the rule was, and this, and I pointed this out in an SAB meeting.
What, instead of selling them on the cheap to Terry Brown? Yeah,
what happened was is that Newham Council did allow, pass the rule to allow Newham to take the statue, but they put a caveat in. Now, Angus Deacon, or whatever his name was, Angus Kinnear, the...
Now CEO of Leeds. Well,
he was at the SAB meeting, and he said, don't worry, we're taking the statue. And I went to him, hold up, there's a caveat. I mean, his face was a picture. I went, hold up, there's a caveat on that. You have to put back a piece of artwork in its place that symbolises West Ham. And he went, yeah, that's right. So I said, well, why don't you just leave the statue there and buy a new one? And he said, people got emotional attachment to that statue. Well, guess what? It ain't gone, has it? So it just shows you all the crap they came out with.
So did they? Has Terry Brown got the gates, says he, Sean?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was a secret.
Cut our cult.
So is it between, oh, is it between just the three of us and our...
Yeah, yeah. Let's not tell anyone else that Terry Brown's got the
gates.
The current... He's a current... Is he just a director now?
He's a director.
Is he a director? He's a director. He's just a shareholder. I don't think he's a director.
Oh no, he's life president.
Life president.
He's not a director. He's not a director. One of his fellow.
He should have got life.
What's his name?
Life ban. That's what he should have got. Where's the?
Yeah, he's got the gates. And he bid for them, properly. I'm told.
Yeah, of course he did. I was there at the auction. I didn't see him with his hand up.
I'm told he probably bid. Whatever you may say.
Yeah, all right.
Disclaimer here. We know Terry Brown does have the gates, but we're not inferring any misdemeanor, no matter what our colleague Nigel may say. He bid from fair and square and won them.
He's anyone put them up on the wall next to his Tevez signed shirt. Yeah, well done, Terry.
Anyway, moving on, next round. Are we all trying to go to Wembley in October?
I might be in Scotland.
I guess so.
So, might be a bit difficult for me, yeah.
Not going to Swansea, not going to...
Well, Swansea's this weekend. So Tottenham's not till October the 25th.
Fickle fan.
So have we got any clarification on the numbers of that yet, Sean?
Well, no, but I spoke to a very charming Spurs PR man. His name's Simon. Hi, Simon, if you're listening. He's a miserable bastard. He doesn't like me very much.
There's a queue.
And I said to him, well, I said, when are you announcing how many the allocation? He went, why do you want to know? He said, you'll know when you know. And I said, well, we want to get a head start. And he said, well, we will share with West Ham as soon as we know. And West Ham will share it with their supporters. And I said, well, can you give me an indication? He went, no, all I can tell you is we haven't agreed it yet. However, super sleuth that I am a researcher, I found that the planning permission from Brent Council for Wembley only allows 27 games at 90,000. So obviously 19 of these are already for the Premier League. They've already played one. Is it Borussia Dortmund? They played in the Champions League. They're playing Real Madrid and the others. So there's at least four more Champions League games that all be 90,000. So that takes you to 23.
Did they sell out then? No.
So then they've got to fit in FA Cup games, assuming if they go further, and League Cup games. So when they play Barnsley, there's a clause in the contract in the planning that says they're allowed an unlimited number of games at 51,000, which is not using the upper tier. So on Barnsley, they took that and they closed the upper tier, and of course they only sold, 30,000 or something, 34,000. And I spoke to my contacts at West Ham. They said, although they hadn't any confirmation, the likelihood is they would not open the upper tier for West Ham's game, and it's likely to be a 51,000 capacity. Under the rules of the League Cup, it's 10%, not 15%. 15% is the FA Cup. 10%, so we will get around 5,100 tickets to be played on Wednesday, the 25th of October. There's a small chance the police and the SAG, the Safety Advisory Group for Wembley, will allow more. But as I say, the people at West Ham believe that it will be the lower amount, about 5,000. It's a school night anyway.
Yep.
Can you see police wanting 9,000 or something? I don't know if you saw, but David Gold tweeted out West Ham will get at least 12,000 allocation. And then about 5 minutes later, he deleted it because he was making it up.
No, I didn't see that.
No.
Did you not tell the man from Tottenham that you was from Claret and Hugh?
Oh, he knows that. He's rung me. The reason we know each other is I've written a number of stories about Spurs.
When you upset them.
Particularly about state funding. I've upset them. And you know, there was a little bit of legal bargy over one of the articles I wrote. But it was all resolved. We're best of friends now. So I guess...
Everywhere you go, Sean, you just make friends.
I guess we need enough points. We haven't got a lot of points, have we, to get tickets for Wembley?
I have.
Can you sort us out?
Oh, I don't
know. Is that between us?
Well, I've got points, thanks.
How many points you...
17.
How'd you get 17?
Not to be disclosed.
Nicola Kay, if you're listening... Work out how it got on his...
It's easy to do, isn't it? I'll go all the away games.
Fair play. Anyway, I suppose we should finish off by saying, sure. Let's hear what the gaffer has to say.
Okay, Slaven, well, 3-0 through to the next round. Was that about as smooth and as good as you could have hoped for?
Yeah, I mean, we've done the job. Also, it was a good game, especially me. First half, like, we started really well, we scored a goal and we didn't stop. We were really good in first half. We should have scored more goals. We played attractive and we played quick football. And it was really like a good game and really good performance from us. Second half, we slowed it down, which I didn't like, but I can understand the lads because we have a game on Saturday, and at the end we scored a Masuk, who scored a wonder goal, which helps for a whole for the whole thing. So as you said, very pleased, no injuries, pleased so far. 3-0 again, clean sheet again, and we are in the next round. So pleased.
Undefeated in the last three matches now, including the league fixtures. Are you feeling the team has turned a corner?
Yeah, but we have to continue like this. We have to build on this. That's what we told the players before the game. We started, okay, get the confidence back. We have the pattern. We are solid. And let's build on that, you know. And so this result and everything and performance for many, many players will also help in that building. And as I said, before a game to the players, because we had some players that deserved the chance, okay, but who are not playing regularly. I think that they should be playing. I think there's only one place that you can impress me and myself, and that's a pitch, that's a game, you know. So they done really well, as I said, especially in the first half, and it's good. The vibe is, of course, the confidence is back slowly, but it's all about winning games. It's all about keeping clean sheets. It's all about having good patterns. And as I said, we can't say now we just turn the corner and it's going to stay like this. No, we have to deserve it, not only in games, but also in trainings. But we're on the right path now.
You mentioned players who turned in good performances. Marko Arnautović came back into the team. How impressed were you with his display tonight?
Marko is... he's a special player, you know. He's got that special kind of a skill. When he's got a ball, we're expecting, if he gets the ball in a good situation, good positions, he's got a quality. I ain't gonna say anything new, you know. He's got it. Now he's back, and I expect him to do it. He was good today, but to do it more regularly, to do it better, and not to get satisfied with one or two flicks or tricks, but to do it to constantly molesting the defense, because he's capable of that.
You mentioned the goal earlier, the third goal, a word on Masuaku's strike, a special strike, wasn't it?
That was a brilliant goal, and it's a nice way to finish the game, not only for him, but for the whole team. The strike was unbelievable, and so to be fair, it's a privilege to be on a pitch and to see those kind of goals. It was a wonder strike.
And you talk about a good way to finish the game and a confidence-building win. Is it confidence that you can now take into what will be a huge game of the weekend against Spurs?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, last three games, it was like a bit more than a week from Monday till now. We improved a lot. We improved in games, as I said, three clean sheets, 4 points in the league, kind of smooth going in the next round of the cup. So we've done well in this week. As I said, we know what we are expecting on Saturday, and big game, and we're gonna have to be on top of our game. We have enough time to rest also today. Some of the players didn't play and all that, and I have a good squad. Unfortunately, there are still two or three, not big injuries, but injuries. But we're gonna approach the Tottenham game in a positive way, knowing that it's gonna be maybe so far the biggest test for us in this season.
And just finally, through to the next round, of course, of this competition, is it? You get through a few rounds, do you start to think of how far you can go in this competition, and perhaps start dreaming of Wembley?
Yeah, definitely not dreaming of. Well, we are dreaming of Wembley. There's nothing wrong in saying that. I think that every team is dreaming about Wembley. You need performances. You need few good performances. You need a bit of luck in the draws. Last year in this stage we got Chelsea, but we beat them. And then we got Man United. In FA Cup we got Man City. Even against them you have a chance, okay, but you would rather have be a little bit more lucky in a draw, and then your dreams become more realistic, you know, as you move on. And now hopefully we're going to get a good draw, because some of the teams, with the greatest respect, are beatable, you know, and everything's going to be tough, of course, because this is England and all that, but hopefully it's going to be a good draw.
That's great, sir. Thanks for being with
us. Thank you. Thank you.
So what do you think about that then, John?
Yeah, he seemed a bit more upbeat, didn't he, to be fair. It's nice to have a positive result for him to talk about for a change, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He saved his job.
Well, yeah, for now.
Well, let's talk about dirty Spurs. So we all went on Saturday, and our first Saturday game back at the London Stadium. And what a joyous trip it was to the stadium. Us Surrey boys, us Mockneys, as Nigel would call us, had to come via South West Trains through Waterloo. And those of you that live in that area or use South West Trains will know it. Their train system is a complete disaster with half
South Western now, isn't it?
Huh?
South
is that what
Western
it's called?
Now,
South Western.
Yeah, it's really improved.
So, yeah, the trains are up the Swanee. We usually go to the stadium via Pudding Mill Lane. The DLR was shut. I think there were other problems, like rail was shut at Barking, and all other problems everywhere. Best connected stadium in the country, John.
It's the best connected stadium in the land, mate. You've said it time and time again. I can't argue with the fact, can I?
So I was running a bit late. I mean, I didn't arrive
you didn't
to Stratford. Yeah, I didn't arrive to Stratford to gone 12 o'clock. So as I approached the stadium after doing the walk of shame from Stratford Underground, I faced a steward told me not to go to Bridge 5, which is round by where we should go, which is where our turnstile is, turnstile C, and went to Bridge 1, which is right next to the big screens. And there we got stuck in a queue for the searching. And I think we were there for about 10 minutes. I mean, how did you boys get on with it? A lot of people have criticised the bag searching, but how did you get on?
Well, I got through quite easily because I ignored what I was told. I was told I couldn't go that way because that's away fans only, but as far as I'm concerned,
well, it's
that's
actually
the
disabled bridge. You went over the disabled bridge. You're the kind of person who parks in disabled bays as well, John.
Well, it's all right for away fans. It's all right for me, is what I thought. No one told me
you
I couldn't go there.
Went over Bridge 4.
All I know is that that's the entrance that I normally go in. So I just went for that way and it wasn't too bad at all. So I got no real complaints about the security checks. I didn't get caught up in that, to be honest. I was sat in there with 15 minutes to go, supping on a beer.
Yeah. I know KUMB were talking about, you know, it took up to an hour for some people from the station to there. And there were problems for people.
It was congested. It was busy. It was. But there's a lot of reasons for that. But one of the reasons is obviously everyone coming out of the tube, wasn't it, as opposed to using other entrances. And
I think people were coming late, Pretty Mill Lane closed. Well, but also my understanding is bridges 2 and 3 were absolutely empty. Everybody was making their way to bridge 5, and then after that 1, and that's where the two queues are, but the other two bridges were empty. And if everybody, what I was told, I spoke to the head of ticketing today, if everyone followed what said on their season ticket of what bridge to go to, we wouldn't have these problems. People are being selfish, John.
Well, if everybody knew what bloody bridge was what, and, you know, no one knows.
Good point, because until I spoke tonight, you didn't know what bridge was what, did you?
I got no idea. You know, but I've got no... You've got no way of knowing what bridge is what, is it? It doesn't tell you. There's not stewards there saying if you're whatever, go to bridge 5, turn left here. No one tells you anything. So, no. How are you supposed to know?
And on my way to my turnstile, after I got through bridge 1, I had to wait about 10 minutes on bridge 1, I bumped into Nigel, who was in the queue for the ticket office with his son.
yeah, upgrading the kid's ticket to an adult. I was a good boy.
And also, that was the longest queue I'd ever seen at the London Stadium. Although, again,
that was a long queue.
The head of ticketing told me that actually, although it looked long, no one was in that queue for over 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, I was surprised after queuing up because I had to go to one of the bridges with the big queues because I needed to get to the ticket office. So after getting through that queue, like waiting 10, 12 minutes, to then walk down to the ticket box to see it goes past the railings... And near enough halfway down to where the away fans go in, you think, oh, fuck, I'm going to miss the start of the game. I said, we'll be lucky to get, you know, swearing again. My wife would tell me off if she listens.
She never listens to this podcast.
My mum does, so she'll tell me off. And my dad. But anyway, enough about that. So I got to the queue. It was a bloody long queue. Yeah. But to be fair to the club, it did only take about 10, 12 minutes to get there, take the £40 off me to upgrade the kids, band 5 kids ticket to an adult, and then get round. So I did make kickoff. So I was impressed. So
did your son-in-law play you for that back, or is it just part of...
No, he paid it. Yeah.
So I was talking to the ticketing lady today, and she said, but you could have just rung up and upgraded it. So why didn't you? She said, even while you were there, you could have rung up while you're in the queue and upgraded it.
Oh, I looked online. You can't do it online. I didn't know I could ring up.
No, you can ring up. So she said, look, you can ring up and upgrade it over the phone. You can't do it online at the moment. They are looking at that.
It doesn't matter because I'm going to upgrade it to a full adult anyway. It's only going to be another £100-odd. It's a band 5, isn't it? So he's going to pay the money.
I did suggest that before.
I know I did, and I didn't bother doing it. I thought, oh, I'll do it, and then he was free this Saturday, so he could come to the game when he come. And
you could have taken £40 off him, and that would have been £40 to upgrade.
Well, that's what I said, I said, the thing is, I said, look, you do the foot. He said, don't worry, he said, he'll pay the upgrade. I said, well, you've had 2 games, there's 2 games already been played on it, so they'll probably knock like 10, £15 off. So you just got to pay like, the 180 or £160 to upgrade it to an adult.
Yeah. Anyway, we better move on to the game. I had a problem. My daughter's ticket didn't work. And
because you sold it twice, so come on, admit it. You sold it to someone so they could sneak in.
Well, I spoke to the ticket office today. They had a video of what happened and they knew exactly what had gone on and everything, but I wasn't scamming or anything. My daughter went in on my son's ticket And my son then couldn't get in because he was trying to use my daughter's ticket. But her card just wasn't activated. It's dead. It's not working. But they're going to send me a new one. So I made kickoff by 30 seconds. How do you think we started? Let's start with you, Nigel. In the gods, high up there.
Yeah, good view of
the
game.
Nosebleed. What did you think of how we set up for the game and the choice?
You could see we were chasing them down to begin with. People were getting stuck in. Did it turn on the Antonio going off? And Carroll coming on. You could argue that because Carroll was the one that gave the ball away. I won't criticise Slav. I thought it was a strange decision, but I could understand why he did it. Perhaps because Carroll supposedly had a knock, he didn't want to give him the full game. He could probably do like an half, so he thought, well, he can do an hour if he can do 45 minutes. Get him on, and Tottenham don't like it up them. Andy Carroll, yeah. He done well, didn't he? a lot of people slagged off Bilic for putting Carroll on, and I won't do that. At the end of the day, he lost Antonio. That was a gamble. I'm a gambling man. Some gambles pay off. You know, it didn't pay off playing him.
He said it wasn't a gamble. And, WhatsApp group, I sent you, I said, look, he's facing a late fitness test. He's not everything. I got told he was 70% and yet he played him. Afterwards, he defended himself. And we'll talk about this later because I got a lot of grief on it on West Ham Till I Die. He defended himself saying, the injury he had in the week with a knock wasn't the same. This was a new groin injury. I didn't take a risk.
All right, well, look, I'll take him at face value. I don't believe it. I don't know. At the end of the day, he's the man paid to make the decisions. He made the decision. I'll support his explanation. He could have put IU on, but IU ain't that great of a player anyway, is he? Let's face it. So,
would you have put someone else in and not changed the formation?
At the end of the day, I believe in 4-4-2 as a way of playing. It may be old fashioned, but guess what? When he put Masuaku on as a left winger and we went 4-4-2, that's when we got back into the game. So actually, perhaps he saw something there. If you've got Carroll and Chicharito on the pitch, or Sacco and Chicharito on the pitch together, if you play a 4-4-2, you will give them better service than by playing the 3-5-1 or whatever it is he plays. I can't work out what system he plays. 5-3-2 or people.
Well, he doesn't play Chicharito on the wing. He says that.
No, but I think what
he plays just off
the just the way it looks, where when there's 4-4-2 and you've got the two natural wide players, and he had Masuaku, didn't he, on the left in front of Creswell, which gives that extra, as he's a defender, gives a bit of extra protection as well. I thought we looked so much better as a team. And loads of people were going, oh, if it weren't for the sending off, we'd lost 3 or 4-0. I see it. I had to pull someone up and say, hold up a minute. We got our first goal back when there was 11 players on the pitch. So if I'd like to see us play 4-4-2 with either Carroll or Sacco up front and Chicharito. And I think it works with having Masuaku in front of Creswell and having a back four. We've lost Antonio now for a while, so.
Well, our source says today only 7
well,
days.
All right, that's all right then. So, I mean, you could put AU out wide, right?
Yeah, so he won't be at the Swansea game, no. But after Swansea should be fine.
So, all in all, I walked out, you know, I said it on the Amos Chat video, you know, people like that I was quite happy when I walked out because at 3-0 down, we put up a fight. And that's all you want to see. And that is, it's not all you want to see. But when you go 3-0 down in a game and people are streaming out at 3-0 with still 25 minutes to play, you know, what you want to see is, let's see you have a fight. Go and have a go at them. And they did have a go and we could have got an equaliser. Yeah. So there is hope there that when we play Swansea, that it won't be like that. Let's face it, Tottenham are a good team. They are the level above us. So, you know, that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have a rule that if you're 3-0 down before half time, you can leave.
Oh, please leave.
That's our rule between me, John, and George. It's always been our rule.
You've got further to go on. John. I'll let you off.
Let's do a quick stat attack. In fact, I forgot to do it for the previous game. I'm going to quickly do it for the Bolton game. We had 67% possession at the Bolton game with them having 33. We had 18 shots, 4 on target. Bolton had 6, only 2 on target. Now, moving to the Spurs game, wouldn't surprise you, we had less possession. We had 49%, which means Spurs.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
51. West Ham had 10 shots, really. 4 of them on target, 2 of them went in. Spurs had 15 shots, 5 on target, 3 of them went in. So there you go. They were superior. But they did sort of panic at the end, didn't they? You know, everyone at 3-0 going, ha 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 ha. Then they go, we get one back. They go down to 10 men. We get another one back with Keati. And there was a few chances. And we'd have loved it if we'd have got to 3-3. John, you give us your view of the match. I don't think you were as enthusiastic as us after the game.
Why did you say that?
Because you always look at the negatives.
Well, I just...
All right, tell me about the positives then, John, of the game.
The positives was a fight back. The positives were there were signs of some people clicking, some people playing well. You know, there was some positives to take out of it. There's some negatives as well, but yeah, you know, we were up and at them, and it was the goal, I think, that sort of took the wind out of ourselves. I probably wouldn't have put Cowell on, but you can see that's been his starting 11 for the last 2 or 3 games.
He's got this loyalty to Cowell, some stubborn loyalty.
Well, people say that he's got this double loyalty and favourites. Has he really, or is that just how he thinks he's going to play? It's just, you know, I don't think he's got a great liking for Bacco, so he'd always put Cowell in front of him. But, you know, I would like to see him, even though I would like to see what goes on in Chicharito's head. He sees stars, I think, around his head, and he tries to flick everything, and he sees a different game than everyone else.
Got his third goal, though. Come on.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, I'd like to see him given his run up in centre-forward, right up the front, and he's the only one scoring goals. So I would I would take it from that point and work my way back.
Well, in the league, all of West Ham have only scored 6 goals, of which Chicharito scored 3 of them. Right. And I did an article today on Clarence Hugh to say that our 2 ex-strikers from last year, Jonathan Clary and Simone Zaza. Simone Zaza has got 5 in his first few games for Valencia with a hat-trick in 8 minutes, as you're probably aware of last week. And Clary has got his team have only, I think, won twice. He's got 2 goals. I think they've only scored 5 goals in the whole season in the first 6 games. So between them, their 7 goals from Clary and Simone Zaza is more than the whole of West Ham for this season. What do you think of that, then, John?
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say other managers get more out of these players than Slaven Bilic does.
Do you believe that? Or do you believe they've gone there with their heads held in shame about the pathetic performances they put in at our place and going on with a point to prove now, because otherwise they're not going to get another contract somewhere else? You know, there's, you can look at it whichever way you want, but I can't start putting the blame at Slav's door for the way they're playing now and the way they didn't play for us. But I was happy enough when I left. It's the same old West Ham, isn't it? We're used to it. No surprises, is it? I was surprised when we got down to 3-0, but I was pleased that we got back to 3-2 and we could have equalised. But the typical West Ham thing is to get you nearly there and then not do it, innit?
Who was your man of the match, John?
Who was my man of the match? I think everyone's berating him, but I think Noble had a great game. He battled, chased everything down. So I would I'd give it to him.
Brave. Nigel?
He stole my thunder. I was going to go Noble, to be fair. Did you see him when he squared up to that big geezer? He looked like the little kid in the playground waiting for his mates to join in. You know, back me up, lads. I'm going to take him on. He
jumped in for everything, didn't he? Did everything.
He did. Captain, leader, legend.
Whatever.
Hater.
So you want Noble out and Bilic out, do you,
yeah,
Sean?
Yeah, I do. Right. Talking of that, let's see what the gaffer has to say.
Slaven, so much in that game. What did you make of it?
Well, obviously we are disappointed. We started, not only started, but up until the first goal we were really... it was one of our best games. We were defending really well, aggressive. We took a lot of balls from them in a good areas, and then it was a few times, four or five times, really good service to Marco or to Chicharito in a good or to Michael in a good positions when we were in open space, like three against three, or had a lot of space in front of us, but we just didn't materialize those opportunities. And then, as it usually is against teams with that quality, one mistake, but pretty far from goal, okay? One bad decision, they make a great cross and it's puff, it's 1-0. So for me, it was nowhere near 2-0 game in the first half. Second half, we again started well, but then one good shot and it's 3-0 and you're thinking like, we're in trouble. Then we came back with a goal. We didn't give up, and we came back. And then after the red card, we changed the system. We tried to pressure them to create advantage on the wings, trying to get two against one situations that we were looking to beat them and to make crosses. And some of those crosses, or at least one, was brilliant, and we scored. But we should have put more quality balls inside, not too early, but more quality.
Taking you back to the first half, did the injury to Mikel Antonio really affect you? Obviously because you lost him, but then it seemed to take Andy Carroll a bit of time to get up to speed as well.
Yeah, but you can't affect that, you know. He had to go off, but we had to shuffle a bit. We had to put Andy that needed a few minutes to come into the game. As you said, we had to put Chicharito on again on Mikey's position, because we wanted to stay in that system that we played for three games now, or two games before Spurs. And of course it always affects you to lose a player like Michael or to change in a time that you are doing really well. But and then they scored. Well, so we can talk about that, but we should have scored the second one. For those 5 minutes after we conceded the first, we were like a little bit lost, to be fair. So we needed that half-time, although it was 2-0 for them.
At 0-0, and it ended up being a difficult afternoon for Serge Aurier, might you have had, well, one, maybe two penalties?
Look, you can talk about it.
Not something you're dwelling on, though?
No, for me, Serge Aurier handball, you mean...
There's that, and then there's maybe a tug on Arnautović as well.
Tug on Arnautović, if Marco had fallen down, then maybe he would give us. For me, it's although it's just a nudge, this last corner that Andy had a free header, and from the back, I think Sanchez pushed him, and it was a free header for Andy, so maybe that, but he didn't get it, so...
Yeah. It's one thing to say, you had a few games here last year where you ended up losing quite heavily. Did you lose in the right way today?
Yeah, in the end, of course, it's much pleasant to lose 3-2 and to have the crowd staying till the end and being behind us big time and expecting, really, because it looks like that if one team's going to score, it's going to be us, you know. So it's, of course, there's a big difference. If you're losing 3-0 or like last year 5-1 or whatever, or 5-0, then to come back to 3-2 and to be in a position like that you are looking to score a goal. So it's good, but anyway, of course we are disappointed that we let 3 goals in and that we lose the game against them.
What do you think about that then, John?
Yeah, I think he's obviously taking on the positives, isn't he? Which he needs to do. And he needs to take it forward. I think we can, we take on that sort of battling, that fight, get into the Swansea game. Massive game now, the Swansea game. And see how we go from there.
Yeah, good. Well, earlier today, I had planned to talk to David Cross for a short 10-minute interview today. And I contacted him, spoke to him this morning. But unfortunately, he's in the south of France. Because I know he's coming to the London Stadium soon. I think he's doing a West Ham Way event. So he's an old friend of the podcast. But he's in the South France. He's back on Thursday. So we will catch up with him and ask him his views on West Ham, the London Stadium, etc. I then called Tony Cotty. Tony Cotty was busy today. He did his... He's now doing tours, legend tours of the London Stadium. He did his first one yesterday, so I wanted to catch up with him. He said he's going to be free next week, so we'll catch on with him. So my third choice was to ring Huey Southern to ask him about Slaven Bilic, because 4 games away, we said, or the media said, not we said, he's got 4 games to save his job. I never believed that, but that's what the media were saying. So earlier today, I caught up with Huey, and this is what he said.
And we welcome back to More Than Just a Podcast. It's Huey.
Hi, Sean. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but you're our third choice. We did try and talk to Tony Cotty tonight, on your suggestion, of course, but he was busy. And David Cross, I also spoke to. But he was in the south of France, and he's on his way back. So,
Sean, I shouldn't be on the bench, should I? I mean, not.
Yeah, I know. I'm
company.
Sorry. You're going to have to come on as a superstar.
Oh my God, Fathers! Yeah, go on.
My favourite topic tonight, Slaven Bilic,
mm-hmm.
is his time up. I wrote an article on West Ham Till I Die, a part of my Sunday column. I got a lot of grief from it. There was over 880 comments so far. Most
really?
Of them not very pleasant against me. Accusing me of propaganda and doing the board's work, etc.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, we suck up to the board, don't we? We're in their pocket. Yeah.
But, you know, these were my personal views. I wrote it just a few minutes before posting it. On what we know that, you know, my view and your view, I know, is the same, that Slaven Bilic, from what we hear, won't be offered another contract. And his contract will run down. And yet again on Saturday... at the London Stadium when we play Spurs, he showed poor tactical choices. You know, whether he should have started with Antony in the first place if he was a doubt, and putting on Andy Carroll to replace Antony after 28 minutes instead of someone like AU. I mean, or Rice or someone like that. I said my piece on West Ham Till I Die. What do you stand on Slaven Bilic at the moment?
Well, I'm very much the same place as you, Sean. I think we've had the conversation, of course, but I mean, how, when you've got a particular shape and a system, a formation, which includes Hernandez at the peak, at the top of the attacker, that is the one up, how do you then decide that with Ayew on the bench or Sacco, I know he's not everybody's favourite person, but nonetheless, that you're going to bring on Carroll. No, I mean, the question you asked is his time up? Look, let's be fair, he's the most likeable man in the world. Lovely fella. Everything he believes in, away from football, I believe in. Everything, the way he conducts himself is brilliant. But I'm sorry, Sean, you know, I've said the same in a blog that I did and got the same sort of reaction as you from many people. I'm fed up with making excuses for West Ham, Sean. I'm fed up with making excuses for Slaven. I don't want to make them anymore. And if I'm absolutely brutally, terribly honest, yes, I think he's had long enough. And I don't think we're going to the next level, are we? There's no question of that. At the very best, we're going to finish mid-table. He's just not taking us on, and he's making too many mistakes, in my very humble opinion.
All right, let me play devil's advocate. He wins every single game between now and January. Do they offer him a new contract in
January? They won't offer him a new contract in January, whatever he does. They never do they?
Okay,
they
either... every single game from now until the end of the season, do they offer him a new three-year contract at the end of the season?
How many points are we talking, Sean? Would that be a Premier League record?
That would be a Premier League record.
You silly bugger. You silly bugger. What sort of question is that, really?
Right, what I'm trying to really ask is there any circumstances where suddenly they go, well, we'll have a second thought on this? Or is it absolutely past dying? He's a dead man walking.
And he's really not a dead man walking at the moment, Sean. I mean, that's the problem for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he is not a dead man walking. They're concerned, not concerned, they're confused. They're as confused as everybody else, as I see it, with his decisions. And they don't understand them, and they can't see it. But are they going to sack him over the next four games? No, I don't think so. I think we should probably beat Swansea, won't we? Or at least get a point, and that would be fine. And then we should go on to Burnley, is it? And we should probably get a point there, or even a win. And we should just stutter on against these middle-order teams. But look, we were told we were going to start challenging. We're a million miles away from the top clubs. A million miles away and getting no closer. So if the promise is, We're going to move on. We're going to go to the next level. It's just not happening. Sorry, something's got to give. And I'm afraid the only person you can get rid of is the manager. There's one other thing I'd like to say.
Go on.
Yeah, there were rumours at the weekend about Antonio not being fit. There were rumours about Andy Carroll having taken a knock. There's not a week goes by when we don't get something about an injury. You have to start asking the question, Sean, for me anyway, is it fitness? Is there a problem with the player's fitness and the whole backroom regime? I don't know, but I'm beginning to wonder all sorts of horrible things now.
Mm. Well, our fitness coach is a 69-year-old handball champion, if I remember correctly.
71.
Is he 71?
71-year-old... trainer of the Croatian handball team at the Olympics in 1893 or whatever. I don't want to take the piss out of the bloke.
Matt Law in the Telegraph today says Swansea's a must-win game.
Well, they're all must-win games as far as the media blokes are concerned, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Matt Law has had his contacts in the past at the board and in the club, but I'm not aware. I mean, we spoke to Barry Fry last week. We know that they're not sackers. If anything, I get frustrated at their lack of decisiveness in this matter. I can't see if we lost at Swansea, he would be sacked. I think it would take a number of defeats in a row for them to finally make a decision and call a board meeting. Am I wrong?
Are you wrong that... These are all hypotheses. This is a problem. I mean, I don't think, again, to use that word, the feeling I get with my conversations, I mean, is basically that there's no appetite to sack. You see, the other question you've got to ask, and, you know, it's not rocket science, who's going to replace? There's this thing about Benitez. Oh, so we just walk into St James's Park and say, thanks, Mike, we're taking Rafa Benitez. It's not going to happen. David Gold, David Sullivan and Mike Oshley, as I understand it, really don't like each other. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Who else is there? David Moyes? No, I don't think so. So if it was to happen, and they hadn't got anybody in place, they would probably put Terry Westley in charge for a couple of weeks and then go off and get somebody like Dick Advocaat or Gus Hiddink to take us up to the end of the year while they've had a chance to scout around. That is the way I think it would work. Do we really want that scenario so early in our season? I don't know. But having
who
said
would you
that...
put in? With a magic wand, forget about availability, who would you put in?
Conte at Chelsea.
Yeah?
Think so.
Yeah.
Conte. Klopp, I think. Number two. Number three. I don't know. I mean, look, let's be honest about it. I hate to say this, and everybody's going to turn off and call me everything that they call me anyway. But I like Pochettino. I really do. He's a great manager. Very good manager. You know. And the thing over there is that he has produced youngsters out of the system as well. And he's not frightened to play them, you know.
Cool.
I think he'd probably be my choice if I could get him. And it would piss Spurs off, which would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Well, thanks for coming in as a super sub. Can I ask you for a prediction for Swansea on Saturday?
Yeah, I think we should beat Swansea. I mean, again, I hope we keep Hernandez up top and that we perhaps throw Sacco on with him because I think that looks like a good partnership, whether people like Sacco or not. I would think we can win that a couple of goals, can't we? I think it's another Huddersfield for me, that one.
Good. Thanks for being our guest on Just a Podcast. And obviously, everyone keep on reading claretandhugh.info.
Absolutely, yeah, of course.
All right, cheers to you.
Okay, buddy, see you later.
Bye.
Thank you, bye.
So I'm going to ask you the same question, John and Nigel. I wrote an article on West Ham Till I Die last night. Ian Dale is away at the Labour conference at the moment. He emailed me and said, have you done your Sunday column for West Ham Till I Die? And I thought, oh, no, I haven't. So I'll quickly write something. So I wrote, is Slav's time up, right? And I wrote a few hundred words and said about how, you know, he'd taken a risk with Antonio, and he played Carroll wrong. He shouldn't have brought him on, and that he would never get a new contract, and his time was up, and he needs to be replaced. And my personal opinion is the board have been too indecisive on this, and we need fresh ideas, a new man, because I think the squad is good. There were over 880 comments on West Ham Till I Die the last time I looked, and most of them were not very pleasant, were they, Nigel?
Now, I'm going to read you out a text I got, yeah?
Go on.
I'm not going to say who sent it to me. I'd name no names.
Go on.
East End Vow Silence. P.S. Your mate Sean has just dropped a bomb on the blog. Effing shill.
What's that mean?
A shill.
What's shill?
Is like a stooge.
I was accused of writing this, you know, ghostwriting it for David Sullivan, or it was propaganda. I had a go at the board. Did you read it, Nigel?
I did read it. I think my comment was, I won't defend the article, but I'll defend his right to say it. So, you know, that's your article. You're entitled to say it. I thought it was garbage.
That is my opinion,
and that's what I thought of it. But everybody else had said a lot worse, so I thought I didn't really want to join in the knocking club.
I probably have never had so much abuse in my life.
You know,
I
don't know why you do it. I don't know why you... It worked. It got people talking. Yeah, and I can see when you say, well, it gets... And I prefer articles like that rather than some of the dross that is put out there by other people that are just articles for the sake of an article.
It got the natives restless. It does. Look, it did a job. It gets people talking. I'm very thick-skinned. I've got rhino skin. But I'm going to go back to the question, away from the abuse, whether you agree with the article or not.
Well, no, I don't.
Slav Is Slav's time up?
No.
You're still going to give him, no matter if he loses against Swansea. Matt Law said today, if he loses against Swansea, he's lost his job. If he loses the next three games, is he still in the
job? I do believe that.
You're wrong.
If he loses against Swansea. And,
no, he's not.
You don't think... Well, I tell you why I don't think they'll do it, because a bit of me thinks they do, and a bit of it is that, not that they're not sackers, it's just that they know they can't get the person they want. So what are they going to get if they sack?
Who do they want?
Well, it's obvious they want Benitez, isn't it? Spanish waiter. So they'll probably wait till the end of the season. As you said in your article, you know, it's probably nailed on. They're not going to give him a new one. And he's a dead man walking. Which, to be, you know, I said this to you a couple of... That is a shocking statement, if it's true.
If it's true.
True. That is a shocking statement to... what if he... What, we could still win the league.
Leaning on that button.
We could still win the league.
We could.
So there you go. I mean, it ain't gonna happen.
John, are you still a Billich man?
I am. Yeah, I think we just again. It's just people talk about, like you were just saying just then, about all this other signings scoring goals now, and he could have got better out of them and all that. Well, you know, did he want to get rid of them? Did he want to get rid of all of those players? Did he want to get rid of Fagulli, who scored the other night? Did he not want Carvalho? You know, there's lots of stuff goes on that we don't know about.
Yeah, true.
There's lots of things that undermine or change things. And you, really, if you're going to leave him in place, which I think they will, I think they'll let him have this season. I think we'll probably finish. We're going to have a not very great season, are we? Let's face it. Unless we have a good cup run or something, which we've got Tottenham in the next round. But, you know, if they're going to leave him in place, they should just either keep their heads down, keep their mouth shut, and just let him get on with it and see what he does. Because he could, if he won a cup this season, he'd be in charge next year, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's see. Let's see if my prophecy comes true. I bet it does. Anyway.
What you want to do now is do an article next weekend. Is Noble's time up?
Yeah.
See how that goes. That's what you want to try next.
You see, the funny thing is...
I don't read all that. I don't read it
the
all.
The funny thing Nigel knows sometimes I just write articles to get to get a reaction. And I think I was being a bit mischievous last night. I wrote an article to get a reaction. I knew it would get a reaction, and it did.
It's lucky that I know you. Let's put it like that, because if I didn't know you, I would have absolutely told you a new one. But because I knew you already, a bit of me did chuckle. Especially at some of the comments, but that's why I said,
yeah.
And I did, as you know, I thought,
well, some people got banned, Ian banned a few people.
And that's why I thought, look, you've got a right to say that at the end of the day. Yeah.
He banned a few people for being really personal and said, until you make an apology, you're banned.
But you've got also, Sean, you've got to take into account some of the times the things that you do put out there. Your stuff that, you know, you've that Barry Fry stuff you've done, which was a board loving. You got to, you know, we haven't listened to the Hugh Southern interview yet. I hope that's just not all how great the board is.
It's not about the board. It talks about Slav.
You've got to balance things out, you know.
I am. And do you know what? We're going to soon be talking to Phil Parks. Now, there is a man, right, who doesn't like the stadium, doesn't like the board. And when we talk to Phil Parks, we're going to get Nigel to do it. Then you're going to get a balance from it. There's no way I can get this podcast is not a board loving podcast. I can't do that with you, Nigel, and George on the same podcast.
No, you're right.
I stand alone in that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's time for this. Facebook, Twitter, question. Yeah, it's Facebook, Twitter, question time. I said earlier, and it was only a few hours ago because I forgot, we are back tonight at 6:30 to discuss Bolton and Spurs. Should be an interesting chat. Send in your questions or statements of fact. Lewis Ehrentraut says, why is everyone giving Billich one more game? I can see Swansea doing us, and then it will still be one more game. How long is Anthony out too? Haven't heard a thing about his injury. And what was it? Hammy? Question mark. So I think we've already said that it was a groin injury and he's only supposed to be out for 7 days for Antonio. I mean, we've just been talking about this. Why does everyone always give Bellic one more game? Why don't we get it over and done with and go, we're backing him this season. Whatever happens, it doesn't matter how many games he loses.
Because they're flip-flop fans.
Yeah. But you also
the board. You lose. You're right. The board should say that as well. You're right. The board should come out and say, stop this speculation about his job. He's in place to the end of the season, then we're going
to
review
Paul, don't talk to the media, though, John.
You ain't media, are you?
I'm not media. Ed Hughes says, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being safe, 1 being doomed, where are we for this season? I'm thinking 4 at best. Ongoing lack of team cohesion and the cloud around our leadership will keep us sucked in the bottom quarter of the table. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being safe, Nigel. 5. John.
I say 6.
And I say 7 because I'm an optimist. There you go. We're a bit more optimistic than you, Ed. And finally, Andrew Johnson said, it's a shame to see such a club servant like Mark Noble so exposed as being utterly bereft of a turn of pace. The Premiership League is a merciless environment and I struggle to see a future for our captain. Well, you were just singing his praises a minute ago. Andrew seems to differ from you two.
Well, there you go. You've got tonight's game, where the Premier League, where Gareth Barry's just about to break the Premier League appearances and he's never had pace. So, you know, you don't need to have pace. Pace is in your head and sort of flight of foot and the ability to find a pass, and that's what he's got, in my opinion.
I think he's just proved the old adage, isn't he? Opinions like arseholes, we've all got one.
There you go. But they were there. But they're all pretty much based around the same thing.
Sheringham never had pace. Funny enough, he played till he was 41.
Yeah. But I mean, I think if we'd have got Carvalho, he probably wouldn't be playing.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't have been, would he?
So, you know.
Right. Let's go to Twitter. John Mansfield says, is it time to realise that Andy Carroll is detrimental to our game? Slows us down too much and encourages Route 1 football impacts of exclamation mark. That's John Mansfield on Twitter.
I agree with that, really. I think he should be an impact sub.
Yeah,
I won't disagree.
Nigel?
No, I can. If you can alternate between him and Sacco, then I think you'll get the best out of both of them.
Yeah. And finally, Chav Corner on Twitter says, we show passion and fight, which is what we have been lacking in earlier games. Can we continue this, or will it only happen against the Spuds? John?
I like to think we can continue it. I like to think there's a bit of fire, a bit of fight. I think with Noble there, we'll help with that. And I think that we will continue on Saturday, and we will, well, we'll do that in a minute. But I think, we can continue it.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's Facebook, Twitter question time. Nigel, any mock of the weeks coming out this week, or are you a bit behind?
It's hard to take the piss out of people constantly without it getting personal.
Really? You do it to me every week.
I do it, and I do it so well. I'm debating. I'm thinking, is there anything else I can do? Because I trawl through these videos and I look at them.
Well, Hammer and Talk gives you stuff every week.
I could just call it Mock the Hammer and Talk. The man's a buffoon. But still, you know, he's entitled to his opinion, even if he is mad with it. I've worked it out now, having watched all these YouTubers. And when you're a YouTuber, and if people out there are thinking of becoming a YouTuber, if you just do the boring stuff, hello, I'm going to football now and all that, you'll get about 300 people watch you and two of your mates will go, oh, good video. If you're mad and swear and throw a hissy fit and one week want to sack the board and the next minute you want to kiss their ass and sack the manager, and then the next week you want to sack the manager and sack the board and sack everyone. And if you do it and rant and rave, you can build up 12,000 viewers and people, you know, that's the way to do it. If, you know, the bloke's a YouTuber, he's grown his base by being out there. I'd love to know if he's like that in real life. I'd love to know if he goes to the games, to be fair, because some of the times, the classic one he came out with this week, I did tweet it actually, and a few people picked up on it, was before the West Brom game. This was funny. Before the West Brom game, he said, "Hello, people. I've done my research here. Did you know that the Hawthorns is the highest ground, even higher than Newcastle's? It's massive." Now, the funny thing about that is, it's the highest ground above sea level, not the tallest ground. So you hadn't done the research, you dip.
Yeah, he's just done a Wikipedia.
Yeah. So there you go, Mr. Internet Research. So I did.
Good. Well, we like Mock of the Week, so
it will come back. I don't want to keep doing it and make a rod for my own back. So it'll.
Well, the rumor is that you stopped after you got death threats from someone on who was it who took exception to your was it West Ham Fan TV? No, no, was it Sex, Drugs and Cotton Coal? Who took exception to it?
No, I sorted that out. It was Dave from Sex and
Cotton Coal. It's all sorted out, is it?
Sorted out. I apologise. I did. I was not a bigger man. I'd done the right thing. I apologised to him. I possibly went over the top. In that it could have been construed a personal dig because I've forgotten what he said. He wanted to do something and I made him Muppet Comment of the Week.
Yeah.
But so, excellent. Look.
Anyway.
You know, I'm a...
Sean, I've got...
Go on, John.
I've got a question for you, Sean. Well, you know you're a big fan of the board and everything. How do you think that Karen Brady did this week with her little
The picture. Piece about wanting Tottenham... Not the picture.
The Tottenham to win the league.
Well, it was the
day before we
made a bit of a boo boo there.
Tottenham win the
league. Right, it was a poorly timed comment, right? But if you read the actual,
anyone would think she's not PR savvy.
No, if you read the article, right, and she's trying to sell papers, she does actually say after we get 3 points against them, West Ham get 3 points against them.
Oh, no, that's all right then.
Yeah, but it said that. No, look, I'm not defending her. It was a stupid thing to say, and she shouldn't have said it. But you sent me a picture of her, didn't you, John?
What, the link to that news article?
No, you sent me a picture of Karen Brady.
Oh, I did send you a picture of Karen
Brady.
Could
we put that on the Facebook group or not?
Oh, that's up to you.
I don't think so. We could get sued.
If you can get it verified.
Yeah.
Ask the question, and if it's a yes,
I think it probably is photoshopped.
Yeah. Okay.
I looked at the left and I looked at the right and it didn't look right to me.
we're not going there anymore.
Yeah, she has got dodgy eyes, I must say.
Anyway, let's talk about Swansea. How's Slav going to set up on Saturday with Antonio missing and your predictions for Swansea? Are we all going, by the way? We are. This is a big game. We must all be going. What?
Wife's birthday.
Oh, come on. East End boy like you, and you're putting your wife first?
After 28 years, because it's approaching our 28th anniversary,
Jesus.
You
don't want to take her to football? Yeah. Surely she loves a game of football on her birthday.
No, I don't think she does, actually.
Where are you taking her, Nigel?
I think we're going Canary Wharf.
Oh,
so
well, you're just down the road.
I know. But anyway, listen, don't bother me.
We'll meet you in the sports bar.
I probably would have missed her birthday, because I did miss a few actually. But now there, I can't be bothered. I've got away games coming up, so you know.
All right, well, just give us a prediction.
Prediction:
then.
I think Slaven will pick 11 players and 7 subs, and we will win 2-0.
John?
I think he will start as we finished. And it'll be 2-1. Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I predict, I'm going to have a little bit of a ITK moment here. I predict we will either win, lose or draw. And and there will be a scoreline. And
with ITK you know, like that, X will be worried, I tell you.
I know. Now I'm going to go for 2-0 win over Swansea, and I'm going to say a brace from Chicharito. We're going to play him up front on his own. We're going to play him. We're not. We're going to go 4-4-2 just to piss off Nigel and play him with Seko.
That'd be my luck, isn't it? The first week I don't go, and he'll play 4-4-2.
Arnie, can you see us defensively being able to withstand a 4-4-2?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's all about opinions. I have been Sean. George has been missed. John has been
optimistic.
Ooh, and Nigel has been
jolly.
That's it.
It's not bad, is it? After a defeat from Tottenham.
What do we say here? We say, come on, you Irons.
Bye.
More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.